they can post the access road, but the entire rest of the length of the river doesn't need to be posted if that access point is the only access point they consider to be the major access. That's where my concern is. And, you know, it's, I don't know what the answer is, because we are substantially weakening the requirement for notice to someone who's trespassing.
That's precisely my point. A prime example of it is that it's on private property, on the place where you can come into this piece of property. Now, you can put a 12 by 12 sign up there that says no trespassing. But that's not how you get to the property. You can go down all the way around. You can enter that property, this private property. Do I have the floor? You can enter this piece of property from any place along the river for 4,000 feet down the river. Now, if that be the case, and somebody's on there and they don't build anything. They come on and they put up a little tent, and I go down there and say, no trespassing here. The guy says, wait a minute, I don't see any signs. How do I come out on this? Can I run him off? Because what have I got to do? Say, well, the sign is up at the entrance to the property. The guy says, I didn't come in that way. I couldn't come in. It's private property. But I just drove my boat up on that piece of property, and there was nobody here. It's an unimproved piece of property. So now I can put my tent up and stay the weekend. And can I run him off based on that one sign up there? That's my question.
Madam President, thank you. I believe this bill is an improvement over the current situation. The size of the notice is a minimum, at least. So, and besides that, I'm not so sure that we would like to put signs up all over the country in Alaska. At this particular point in time, I mean, there'll be a time in the future when these private lands are going to be developed, but I'm not so sure we're ready for notices, 4x8 foot plywood pieces all over the country.
Follow up, I'm not going to rag it around. I'm just saying, if he comes on my property and he puts his tent up there and he's going to spend the weekend, and I come down and I say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave. This is private property, and there's a sign of 3,500 feet up the piece of property. And by that, I want you off. And he says, wait a minute. It isn't posted or anything. It isn't posted. So therefore, if it isn't posted, I can come on this thing. How do I know that it's private property? There should be some postings down through there. I guess we take it. I have to just put the signs up and run them off. Because if I only allowed one sign at the entrance, and he can come in way down around the bend, then can he sue me? Can he sue me for running him off his property? Just a question.
It's a step in the right direction. We've been long used to every area being public property. Now, we do have some private property, and the abuses of private property are legion. At least in this legislation, you may get off the hook for some of the liabilities by those people that cross into private property without permission. I think it's a step in the right direction. It's imperfect. But again, I certainly have to support this legislation. There is no way you can protect yourself. Believe me, I know. I have a piece of property that I've had since 1952. It's one of the very first homesteads in the Matanuska Valley. People run, shoot, tear up, destroy, do anything they want on this property. It's almost a menace. There's the slightest amount of protection here, at least if somebody runs into some piece of equipment you've got out there, maybe you have a better protection on it. Even though all these people that most recently acquired private property just beginning to learn about the trespass problems of private property. It's better than what we have now. I just speak to that.
Question?
Senator Halper.
Thank you, Madam President. As I said, my only problem was Section 4, and I don't know what your ruling was on reconsideration, whether reconsideration is available today, but I would like to, after the bill passes, hold the bill in some way, whether it's rescinding motion or reconsideration.
Yes, sir. It is a rescinding motion, yes. We can hold it. If you wish to rescind later, we can have that motion available before the end of the day.
Okay. Okay, then I because I'd like to find, speak to Senator Hensley and see if there's anything that can be done with Section 4. And that's my only objection to the bill.
Is there further discussion?
Question.
Question's been called. The question being, shall Senate CS for CS response or substitute for House Bill 198 resources pass, the Senate members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. Senate CS for CS response or substitute for House Bill 198 resources has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, one unexcused absence. Senator Halper.
Madam President, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration. My vote on House Bill.
You wish to hold the bill, sir. We went through this earlier. We're just at, if any senator wishes to hold the bill until a later time for a rescinding motion is what we're doing, and it's in concert with the House today. I'll tell you about it later.
Okay. I would.
Go. Thank you, sir. Mr. Majority Leader, will you move us, please, to special committee reports?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to special committee reports.
Without objection, the Senate will return to special committee reports. Madam Secretary.
This is a request from the Conference Committee considering Senate CS for CS for House Bill 538 CREMS and CS for House Bill 538 Finance related to the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank, and they are requesting limited powers of pre-conference on the following specific point, and it's Section 4EIII, a lease for equipment or building improvements. Signed, Senator Strzelewski, Chairman, Senator Julian Zemanski, Representative Ulmer, Chairman, Representative Golan-Menard.
I am granting limited powers of free conference to the Conference Committee on Senate CS for CS for House Bill 538 CNRA, amended Senate on Section 4E, Part 3, a lease for equipment or building improvements. Madam Secretary, next item on the calendar, please.
CS for House Bill number 461, Jude, by the Judiciary Committee, an act increasing the penalties for repeat convictions for the crimes of theft and concealment of merchandise. Judiciary Committee considers the bill and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Kurtula, Chairman, concurring. Senator Strzelewski and Fakes. Senator Josephson signed no recommendation. Finance Committee considers the bill and reports the back as follows. Senator Halford, co-chairman, signed due pass. Senators Jaroff, Fisher, Ewing, and Binkley signed no recommendation. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Lyson, Chairman, concurring. Senators Hensley and Fakes.
Do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Madam President.
Senator Fernkamp.
May we have a brief of these?
Yes, ma'am. Senate will come to order. We have CS for House Bill 461 Judiciary before us in second reading. I've asked if there are any amendments. Mr. Majority Leader, we cannot advance this bill. We do not have 15 members on the floor.
Madam President, I don't intend to advance the bill. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that this bill be put to the bottom of the calendar.
Without objection, CS for House Bill 461 Judiciary will be placed at the bottom of the calendar. Madam Secretary, the next bill, please.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 485, Labor and Commerce amended by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act amending a provision regarding offers to sell the Alaska Railroad Corporation and providing an effective date. Transportation Committee considers the bill and recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Jones, Chairman, concurring Senators Abood, Cogdill, and Fahrenkamp. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman concurring. Senators Fakes, Hensley, and Jones.
Do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Elias. Do we have 15?
No.
Senate will stand at ease. Back to order, please. We have CS for House Bill 485, Labor and Commerce amended. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute of House Bill 485, Labor and Commerce as amended, be considered in gross advance third reading, place and final passage.
Without objection, the CS for House Bill 485, Labor and Commerce amended, is before the Senate in final passage.
Committee substitute for House Bill 485, Labor and Commerce amended, an act amending a provision regarding offers to sell the Alaska Railroad Corporation and providing for an effective date.
Senator Kurtula.
President of the Senate, I believe this is necessary to save the railroad $1 million in appraisals and analysis and hustling for potential sale. The legislature has that option. The report will be in under the same conditions as now to the legislature, and the legislature can set up a system for sale if it decides to. My understanding is, though, in the first decade or so, if you do sell, all the fund, any profitability from either the lands or railroad would go directly back to the federal government. And it's felt at this time that this is an unnecessary burden upon the railroad and it's very limited revenues, and I support that position, President.
Question.
Is there further discussion? Question has been called. The question being, shall CS for House Bill 485, Labor and Commerce amended, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. CS for House Bill 485, Labor and Commerce amended, has passed the Senate by a vote of 13 yeas, 5 nays, 2 unexcused absences. Mr. Majority Leader, move
been
the
effective date. Unanimous consent that.
No, sir. Move it.
Those in the 14 votes?
No, sir.
Madam President, I move the effective date of committee to substitute House Bill 485, Labor and Commerce amended.
The effective date has been moved. Is there discussion? The question being, shall the effective date for CS for House Bill 485, Labor and Commerce amended, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. The effective date for CS for House Bill 485, Labor and Commerce amended, is passed the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas, 2 unexcused absences.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 516 has amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to hazardous chemicals, hazardous materials, and hazardous waste. The Hess Committee considered the bill. Majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chairman, concurring, Senators Fanning and Josephson. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendar, and the report was signed by Senator Hensley, Vice Chairman, concurring, Senators Jones and Fakes.
Do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Do we have 15? Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute House Bill 516 Hess amended be considered engrossed in advance of third reading, placed in the final passage.
Without objection, CS for House Bill 516 Hess amended is before the Senate in final passage.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 516 Hess amended, an act relating to hazardous chemicals, hazardous materials, and hazardous waste.
Discussion. Question has been called. The question being, shall CS for House Bill 516 Hess amended pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. CS for House Bill 516 Hess amended has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, 1 unexcused absence.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 327, financed by the Finance Committee, an act relating to penalties for violating the Alaska Historic Preservation Act and providing for an effective date. Judiciary Committee considered the bill and recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Petrula, Chairman, concurring, Senators Rody, Josephson, Strzelewski, and Fakes. Resources Committee considered the bill and reports it back as follows. Senators Coghill, Elias, and Strzelewski signed to pass. Senator Fisher signed no recommendation. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring, Senators Fakes and Jones. I have no amendment.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 327 to finance be considered engrossed in advance to third reading and placed on final passage.
Without objection, CS for House Bill 327 finance is before the Senate in final passage.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 327 finance, an act relating to penalties for violating the Alaska Historic Preservation Act and providing for an effective date.
Discussion. Senator Petrula.
This bill has been before in various forms before the legislature's passed the Senate previously. This particular legislation provides a higher level of protection for historic resources by increasing penalties for violating the existing act.
Is there further discussion? Senator Kelly.
Madam President, the current penalty provides a fine of $1,000, 6 months imprisonment, or both. This will increase the criminal penalties for violation of existing law, those of Class A misdemeanor. Civil penalties up to $100,000 for a Class A misdemeanor. Is that Does that sound real to anybody else?
Typical of other areas for this type of desecration destruction. Some of these areas are, as a matter of fact, we have areas that have the antiquity of Folsom and Yuma in this state that are beginning to be incurred upon and destroyed. Some of them are in Senator Coghill's district. And it's felt that you're going to need real, and it's difficult to protect. Who's out there protecting? The occasional citizen may bring it to the attention of someone. Then prosecution is extremely expensive. And it's felt that you need that absolute opportunity of a $100,000 fine.
Senator Josephson.
Madam President, one reason for that is because we're talking, for example, of historic airplanes. The North Star Flying Lions of Fairbanks and other historic airplane groups have expressed an interest in this bill. For example, one of the supporters, Richard R. Hoops, president of the IAAAF, says even a penalty of $100,000 might not deter the theft of a World War II airplane with a value of $250,000. That's the reason for the high civil penalty, the high penalty.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. The reason I put no rec on there is at that time I tried to find out there is a penalty provision there for jail. And it seems to me that's a lot more, if the judges use that a little bit more, maybe we wouldn't need to go this $100,000. And I still don't know the answer whether or not anybody, in fact, ever had the sentence of going to jail versus a slap on the wrist or whatever.
Madam President, I'm just curious. I'm just wondering if I went and dug around like I used to do and loved to do, looking for what we call navraks, which is the term for old Eskimo items. If I happened to dig up a piece of old ivory, would that make me subject to this violation and all the penalties possible?
As I understand, Madam President, no, I don't believe it does. I think that if it's in an area of a digging of a site, if the good senator from Kotzebue takes it to the East Coast and disposes of it, then I think that you have a problem. But the Historical Preservation Act is to keep things in Alaska and not to disturb them. And the thing is that I don't believe that it would. If he was in a archaeologically designated area, yes, it would.
Madam President, I could add to the confusion, but it seems to me that in resources, that specific question was asked. We're dealing with state land. We're not dealing with private land. No, Senator Hansley's question, if you found that on private land, that you'd be violating some other type of law, but the sure deals in state land only.
We'll come back to order. We are under debate of CS for House Bill 327, Finance. Is there further debate? Senator Curtula is seeking the floor.
President, of course, it's essentially the existing law with the change of penalties, but I do have a slight definition here. We were discussing fossils, and I'm not certain it wasn't two of the ladies that serve on Judiciary Committee, but anyway, it noted the definition of fossils, definition under definition of fossils, and don't all of you laugh, may include husbands over 55.
That's because they're easy to pick up.
Tula isn't easy to pick up, though. Senator Coghill?
I'm glad that the chairman of the Judiciary Committee is speaking for himself. Madam President, I have the statute in front of me, that 4135, that deals with the Alaska Historical Preservation Act. And I don't know how far you want to get into the debate of it, but it would seem to me, Madam President, the enforcement authority, the following person, a peace officer, an employee of a department, but it didn't have any penalty division. And that's what the purpose of this bill is. And I think that it's a good bill, and we ought to pass it.
Senator Kelly.
President, the senator from Nenana didn't read Hartman.
Section 4135.210, a person who violates the provision of this chapter is guilty of a misdemeanor and upon conviction is punishable by a fine of $1,000 or by imprisonment for not more than 6 months or by both. It just seems to me that going from $1,000 to $100,000, while it sounds as real tough, I just don't, there's something wrong with that.
Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I would imagine that, you know, in areas that have some historical areas within Alaska, we're having an awful lot of people coming and picking our country up. And I think that we have to make the, it says that the good senator from Anchorage is correct. The 4135.210, which is the first section in your bill, provides for it to be a Class A misdemeanor. And then it adds another one in there. It says the civil penalty. That's criminal penalties. And then it says civil penalties. One is a criminal penalty. The other is a civil penalty. You get your, you're subject to other penalties and remedies under law. A person who violates the provisions of this chapter is subject to a maximum civil penalty of $100,000. And if you remove, go and rob some of the old graves or something like that, it's worth a lot more than $100,000 to the historical preservation of this state.
Senator Rohde.
Madam President, the bill was enacted to take care of a problem in the Aleutian Islands. That is, many of the aircraft that are down there are worth a great deal of money. They're some of the only existing models in the world. The deterrent under the present statute is not enough to prevent people from coming up here, dismantling those planes and taking them elsewhere at a significant profit to themselves. And I think it's a reasonable approach to the problem.
Question has been called. Question B. Shall CS for House Bill 327 Finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. CS for House Bill 327 Finance has passed the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas, 5 nays. Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 327 Finance be considered the vote in effective day clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on final passage of CS for House Bill 327 Finance will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 305 Finance be put at the bottom of the calendar.
Without objection, CS for House Bill 305 Finance is put at the bottom of the calendar.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 332 has amended by the Health Education and Social Services Committee and activating the reporting of certain injuries. The Health Education and Social Services Committee considers this bill and recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Fanning, Jones, and Curtula. Judiciary Committee considers the bill and recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Curtula, Chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Rohde, Sturzelowski, and Fakes. Finance Committee considers this bill and majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Helfer, co-chairman, concurring Senator Jara, Fisher, Duncan, Hensley, and Binkley. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends the calendar. The report was signed by Senator Hensley, vice chairman, concurring Senators Jones and Fakes.
Where are we? Do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 332 Hess amended be considered congruous, advance the third reading and place the final passage.
Without objection, CS for House Bill number 332 Hess amended is before the Senate in final passage.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 332 Hess amended, an act relating to the reporting of certain injuries.
Discussion? Question has been called. The question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 332 Hess amended? Should that pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. CS for House Bill 332 has amended, has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas.
to House Bill number 344, Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the protection of persons with disabilities and to disabled adults who are victims of physical or sexual assault. Hess Committee considered the bill and recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Jones, Spanion, Josephson, and Petula. Judiciary Committee considered the bill and recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Petula, Chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Rohde, Strzelowski, and Fakes. Finance Committee waived referral. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Hensley, Vice Chairman, concurring Senators Jones and Fakes.
Do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent that Committee Substitute House Bill 344 has to be considered gross in advance of third reading and placed in final passage.
Without objection, CS for House Bill 344 has is before the Senate in final passage.
Committee Substitute for House Bill number 344 has an act relating to the protection of persons with disabilities and to disabled adults who are victims of physical or sexual assault.
Discussion. Senator Curtula.
The body is ready. Does not wish debate on it.
Question. Mr. Seat.
Question has been called. The question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 344 Hess pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. CS for House Bill 344 Hess has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, one unexcused absence. It is 5 o'clock. We are going to be recessing to a caucus. We are going to be recessing to a caucus. I would like to know, we have passed several bills. I haven't asked any member if they wish to hold any bills. Is there any bill that we passed in the last hour that a member wishes to hold? Senator Halford?
We still have 198.
We have the two bills I have held are House Bill 101 and House Bill 198. Just a moment, please. Is there any other senator who wishes to have a bill held? Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come to order. Under announcements, Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, this is not exactly under announcement. Could we have a brief at ease?
Senate will stand at ease.
That, whatever the thing is in there, is an appreciation for all of the heat that we've given you, number one. Number two, I'm not sure we want to give it to you for the heat that you've given us. But the same token, sitting up there is pretty much of a hot spot. Just go ahead and open the thing while I'm talking. But we want you to know that we appreciate you sitting up there, and all your children, as someone once said, are in back of you. And instead of apples, we've given you that. So it's on behalf of all of the ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. Well, they're gentlemen, too, I suppose, if you want to look at it that way.
How did you know about this? Oh, it's a Chinese. Oh, this is beautiful. Oh, and it's engraved. Oh, you took my idea about your signature. That's neat. Thank you very, very much. That is just great. I don't know how you found out. I have an idea of how you found out. I collect antique Chinese porcelains, which is what this is. For those of you who don't know, it's a Qing Dynasty porcelain plate, probably 150 years old. It's just beautiful, and I really like it. And I've been coveting it for 2 months. I bought the ginger jar several months ago, so this is just really, really special. That is really, really special.
There's also a stand in the...
Yes,
so the,
right. I won't throw it away. I know. Thank you. I just need to say a few words about what an honor it is to sit up here. Senator Curtula knows as the presiding officer. And it's really, really a special, special honor. And there's really no grief. The problems, the personalities, the warmth, the friendship, the hassles, the fights, the conversations is all part of it. And if you didn't have it, it would be really boring. And we all know we're not boring. So it's a special treat, and it's a special honor, and one that I'm sure many of you covet. And it's special, and I hope all of you get to do this one day, because it's really a nifty thing. Senator Curtula?
Just wanted to applaud you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Majority Leader, where are we now? What are we doing? Oh, Senate order.
Madam President.
Yes, sir.
Madam President, upon recess, Majority Caucus closed in Butchovich Room.
Senator Alford.
Under unfinished business.
Yes, sir.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the finance referral to Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 44 Rules proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to open meetings be waived from the Finance Committee.
Finance referral on House Joint Resolution Number 44 Rules will be waived from the Finance Committee without objection.
And
Senator Halford?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 437, Mitchell Expressway, be waived from the Finance Committee.
Without objection, the referral to House Bill 437 dealing with the Mitchell Expressway will be waived from the Finance Committee. Senator Halford?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 382 Hess, establishing the Frank Ferguson Endowment, be waived from the Finance Committee.
Without objection, committee substitute for Senate Bill 382 dealing with the Frank Ferguson Endowment will be waived from the Finance Committee.
And Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent committee substitute for House Bill 374, Judiciary, and Act relating to selection and maintenance of jury lists, be waived from the Finance Committee.
Without objection, the finance referral to committee substitute for House Bill 374 dealing with the selection of jury lists will be waived from the Finance Committee. Senator Curtula.
President, Senator, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 468, adoption of the Alaska Uniform Transfers to Minors Act, be waived from Judiciary.
Could you repeat the title, sir? The adoption of the Minors...
Alaska Uniform Transfers to Minors Act.
House Bill 468, the Judiciary referral to House Bill 468 dealing with the transfer of the Minors Act will be waived from the Judiciary Committee.
Objection. Also, Senate Bill 331, Drug Paraphernalia. I move that it be waived from the Judiciary Committee.
Senate Bill 331.
Senate Bill.
Dealing with drug paraphernalia. Without objection, the Judiciary referral to Senate Bill 331 will be waived from the Judiciary Committee dealing with drug paraphernalia. Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 548, Labor and Commerce, be waived from the...
I need the title, sir.
An act relating to oil discharge contingency plan.
Without objection, the Resources Committee referral to Committee Substitute for House Bill 548 dealing with oil discharge plan will be waived from the Resources Committee. Further unfinished business, further announcements.
Senator Sturzewski. I'd like to make an announcement that at the call of the chairs, there will be a conference committee on House Bill 538.
Thank you very much. Further announcements? Senator Eliason.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in recess until
7
o'clock p.m.
Order, please. Senate will come to order. Mr. Majority Leader, will you move us, please, to... reports of special committees, sir.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to reports of special committees.
Without objection, the Senate will return to reports of special committees.
Report dated May 9th, Madam President, Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee with limited powers of free conference considering CS for Senate Bill 144 Finance and HCS for CS for Senate Bill 144 Finance. Recommends that Conference CS for Senate Bill Number 144 and Act make an appropriation for the capital loan program expenses of state government, making an appropriation from the Housing Assistance Loan Fund of the General Fund and providing for an effective date be adopted. Senator Helfer, Chairman, signed no recommendation. The report was signed by Senator Binkley and Jaroff, Representative Pershaw, Chairman, and Representatives Larson and Rigger.
Mr. Majority Leader, will you hold this bill until the Finance Committee is here, at least? Would you, can we just hold this bill? And Madam Secretary, we need a motion to do that? No. Would you read the next committee report, please?
Report dated May 9th, Madam President, Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee considering CS for Senate Bill 484, Finance Am, and House CS for Senate Bill Number 484, Resources, recommends that Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 484 an act relating to the powers of and loans made by the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund Board in providing for an effective date be adopted. The report was signed by Senator Katula, Chairman, concurring Senators Halford and Coghill, Representatives Larson, Chairman, Representatives Cotton and Menard.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments to...
It's a conference report.
Conference report.
Yes, Senator Katula. Senate will stand at ease. Problems with moving 538. Thank you. Madam Secretary, Senate will come back to order. Would you read 538, please?
May 9th, report dated May 9th, Madam President, Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee considering CS for House Bill Number 538 Finance and Senate CS for House Bill Number 538 CNRA amended Senate recommends that Conference CS for House Bill Number 538 relating to the last Municipal Bond Bank Authority Municipal Debt for Development and Redevelopment Projects and providing for an effective date be adopted. The report was signed by Senator Strzelewski, Chairman, Senator Zemanski and Ewing, Representative Ulmer, Chairman, Representatives Gall and Menard.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move that the Senate concur in the Conference Committee on the Committee substitute for House Bill 538.
Discussion. Senator Sturgeon.
Madam President, very briefly, on page 4, lines 16 and 17, we added the word, if the state is not a lessee. It now reads, a lease for equipment or building improvements if the state is not a lessee. This was really in response to concerns raised on the House side that we might be slipping in a court building or some other building, and I would ask the body to concur. I think it's a needed bill, and this does tighten up the language substantially
before us. Senator Josephson.
May I ask a question through the chair to the senator? I understand you don't want to slip something through, but are you taking anything away from municipal authority?
Madam President, there was a concern raised on my part for the project that was definitely planned for Sitka on Ellen Street, and we that's the reason that rather than just sign a report, we had a meeting. I had the bond counsel on hand. It's definitely all right for any projects that are planned out there, including, to the very best of my knowledge, the Matanuska-Susitna plan and others. Representative Menard was there. I think we're clear on anything that is presently contemplated. We did make sure of that to the Senator of Sitka. Thank
you. Further discussion? Question's been called. Question being, shall the Senate concur in the Conference Committee CS for House Bill 538? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. The Senate has adopted the Conference Committee CS for House Bill 538 by a vote of 13 yeas. And Madam Secretary, will you show the Finance Committee, please, absent on state business?
Madam President, we have to wait for an effective date.
We have to wait for the effective date. Yes, sir, we sure do. We will hold the effective date on this bill. Senator Coghill?
Madam President, I'd move and ask consent, unanimous consent that we bring up the hold on Senate Bill, or House, the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 101.
CS for House Bill 101 Finance is before the Senate at this time. Madam Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 101 Finance by the Finance Committee, an act relating to state toll facilities. I believe it had been read a second time.
We passed it.
It's on hold. I'm sorry. What's this?
Senator Coghill.
Do I have to move for reconsideration?
Yes, sir, if you will move to reconsideration. No, we can't. You don't have enough. If the bill is before us, what would you like to do with the bill, sir?
Madam President, there's a mention on the desk.
Would you move us to second reading? We might have to reset. Hang on. Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I move and ask consent that we rescind our action and the passage of Senate
Committee substitute for House Bill 101 Finance. Ask unanimous consent.
You may respond to the senator. She objected.
For the purpose of an amendment.
Is there any objection? Senator, any objection? Senator Bergkamp.
I would like to know if I remember quite well the issue that was discussed and it was bothering them, and I'd like to know what they found out before we rescind our action.
Senator Coghill.
Madam President, Senator Jones, the chairman of the Transportation Committee, and I were in consultation with the sponsor of the bill in the House, Representative Cato, and the language that we wish to put in there is on Section 5, Department of Transportation Public Facilities, and we want to add, in accordance with Section 3715-730, which is Section 3 of the bill, shall construct cover highway as a toll facility. So it hooks it back to the study so that somebody can't throw a loophole in.
I remove my objection.
Sir, you cannot rescind by unanimous consent. We have to have a roll call vote on that, and it has to be rescinded by the same number who passed it, and that's 16. So we can't do that at this time, sir. We have to have a full Senate in order to do these things.
Madam President,
I've been telling you all that all day.
We're here.
Madam President, Richard Mason's here. Madam President, we were under the impression that it was only going to take 5 minutes. It's been 23 minutes.
You know they operate on Senate Finance Standard Time.
Yeah, we're all punctual, aren't we?
Senate will stand at ease. The Senate will come back to order. If the Finance Committee is going to stay with us for a while, I'd like to clear up some of these reports of special committees. Mr. Majority Leader, moving us back to reports of special committees.
Madam President, moving unanimous consent, we return to reports and special committees.
Hang on just a second. Senator, would you withdraw your motion right now, and let's do these.
My motion, you can't do it without, Madam Chairman, I withdraw my motion.
Thank you, sir. Move us to special committee reports.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to reports and special committees.
Without objection, we will return to special committee reports. For the information of the body, the Senate passed the Conference Committee CS for House Bill 538. We did not have enough votes on the floor to move the effective date. I'm going to ask the committee, the majority leader right now, to move the effective date to the Conference Committee CS for House Bill 538. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move the effective date of the Conference Committee substitute for HB 538.
Any discussion? Question. Question's been called. The question being, shall the Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 538 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. The effective date is passed the Senate for Conference Committee CS for House Bill 538 by a vote of 18 yeas, 2 unexcused absences. Let's, Madam Secretary, would you read Conference Committee Report for 484, please?
Report dated May 9th, Madam President, Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee considering CS for Senate Bill 484 Finance M and House CS for Senate Bill 484 Resources recommends that Conference CS for Senate Bill 484 enact relating the powers of and loans made by the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund Board and providing for an effective date be adopted with a letter of intent. The report was signed by Senator Catula, Chairman, Senators Helfer and Coghill, Representatives Larson, Representatives Cotton and Menard.
Does someone wish to move the letter of intent? Senator Catula.
President, I'd move the letter of intent. I ask unanimous consent.
Letter of intent for CS for our Senate Bill 484 has been moved. Is there any objection? Without objection, the letter of intent has been adopted by unanimous consent. Is there any discussion? Mr. Majority Leader, will you move the Conference Committee report, please?
I move the Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 484.
Any discussion? Question has been called. The question being, shall the conference committee substitute for Senate Bill 484 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Secretary, you may record the vote. No, Senator Fisher wishes to change his vote. Anyone else? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 484 has passed the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas, 2 nays, 2 unexcused absences. Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of the Conference Committee's substitute for Senate Bill 484 be considered a vote in effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on final passage of Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 484 will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Secretary, you bring up the Special Committee report on Senate Bill 144.
Report dated May 9th. Madam President, Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee with limited powers of free conference considering CS for Senate Bill No. 144 Finance and House CS for Senate Bill No. 144 Finance recommends that Conference CS for Senate Bill No. 144 an act making appropriations for the capital and loan program expenses of state government, making an appropriation from the Housing Assistance Loan Fund to the General Fund, and providing for an effective date be adopted. Senator Helfer, Chairman, signed no recommendation. The report was signed by Senators Binkley and Jaroff, Representatives Prochot, Larson, and Rieger.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move that the Senate adopt the Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 144, thus adopting Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 144.
Is there any discussion? Question has been called. The question being, shall the Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 144 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. Conference CS for Senate Bill 144 has passed the Senate by a vote of 11 yeas, 7 nays, 2 unexcused absences. Mr. Majority Leader, will you move the effective date,
Madam
please?
President, I move the effective date on Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 144.
Question? Is there any discussion? Question's been called. The question being, shall the effective date for Conference CS for Senate Bill 144 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. The effective date for Conference CS for Senate Bill 144 has passed the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas, 2 unexcused absences. Are we looking for an at-ease? Senate will come to order. Senate will come to order. Senator Coghill.
Madam President.
The easiest thing to do and just is to ask for, give notice of reconsideration on 101. And let's do it in the normal manner. If you can't get two-thirds vote for taking your reconsideration up at the same day, then we'll go through the rescinding situation. All right, sir?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I give notice to my vote on Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 101 Finance.
Notice of reconsideration has been given, sir. So noted.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that my reconsideration be taken up for Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 101 Finance.
Without objection, the reconsideration for Senate CS for CS for House Bill 101 Finance is before the Senate at this time. Madam Secretary, read the bill.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 101 Finance, an act related to state toll facilities, before the Senate on reconsideration.
Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitutes for House Bill 101 Finance be returned to second reading for a specific amendment.
Is there any objection? Without objection, Senate CS for CS for House Bill 101 Finance is returned to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment. Madam Secretary, read the amendment, please.
Amendment number 1 by Senators Jones and Coghill, page 2, line 15. Insert after facility in accordance with section 3715730.
Senator Coghill, do you
wish
to read
the
amendment?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent to the adoption amendment.
Is there any objection to the adoption of amendment number 1? Without objection, amendment number 1 has been adopted. The bill is before us in third reading. Is there discussion?
Question.
Question's been called. The question being, shall Senate CS for CS for House Bill 101 Finance amended pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. Senate CS for CS for House Bill 101 Finance has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, one unexcused absence. Madam Secretary, read the next item on the calendar, please.
Madam President.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that we take up House Bill 111.
Without objection, House Bill 111 is before the Senate. Madam Secretary, read House Bill 111.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 111 Finance, an act relating to survey requirements for state land intended for disposal and to the description of the land and providing for an effective date, in third reading held from yesterday.
This bill has been held from yesterday. It is in third reading. Is there any discussion, Senator Curtula?
President of the Senate, I noted the possible confusion within the survey system proposed, but it's my opinion that it's superior to the situation we now have. And if there's just a minimum of inspection from time to time by the Department of Natural Resources, I think most of the lines that might conflict, they'll get together on. I support the legislation.
Is there further discussion?
Question.
Question's been called. The question being, shall Senate CS for CS for House Bill 111 Finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, may record the vote. Senate CS for CS for House Bill 111 Finance has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, one unexcused absence. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the passage on Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 111 Finance be considered a vote and effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on final passage of Senate CS for CS for House Bill 111 Finance is considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Mr. Majority Leader, which bill would you like to take up, sir?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent. We go back to the rotation of the calendar.
Do you wish to take up House Bill 545? Madam Secretary, read that bill, please.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 545, Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, an act amending crimes relating to sexual assault as they relate to persons who are mentally incapable. The Judiciary Committee considers the bill, and majority of the committee recommends to pass. Report was signed by Senator Petula, Chairman, concurring Senators Rohde and Strzelewski. Senator Josephson signed no recommendation. They also adopted the House letter of intent. Finance Committee considers the bill and recommends to pass. Report was signed by Senator Helfrich, co-chairman, concurring Senators Jaroff, Duncan, Hensley, Binkley, and Fisher. Finance Committee adopted the House letter of intent. Zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends calendaring. Report was signed by Senator Hensley, Vice Chairman, concurring Senators Jones and Fakes.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Committee Substitute for House Bill 545, Judiciary, be considered in gross advance of third reading and place on final passage.
Without objection, CS for House Bill 545, Judiciary, is before the Senate in final passage. Could you let her read the bill, please, sir?
Committee Substitute for House Bill number 545, Judiciary, an act amending crimes relating to sexual assault as they relate to persons who are mentally incapable.
Discussion, and please don't forget the letter of intent. Senator Josephson.
President, Senator Fanning says I'm new down here. Don't know the. There is a Senate letter of intent, which I am going to move in a moment. In fact, I'll move the Senate letter of intent now and explain the difference. Madam President, this letter of intent has the concurrence with the House Judiciary Committee, which feels, as I do, and as I think Senator Petula does, that we should replace the House Judiciary Letter of Intent. The House Judiciary Letter of Intent spoke of the right of consensual sexual expression, I don't want to shock people, of people who are developmentally disabled or mentally ill. There is a place for language like that, I think, but we don't want to imply that in all of our caretaker situations, Harborview, API, and so forth, that there is a legal right of consensual sexual expression which the supervisors of those facilities cannot regulate in the best interests of the people who are being cared for or treated there. The Senate letter of intent makes no such reference to the right of sexual expression, but makes it clear that what we are talking about protecting are a small group of people who are mentally incapable, and in all, this letter of intent, I think, is an improvement over the House letter of intent.
Do all senators have the Senate letter of intent in their packet? All right, do you move the letter of intent?
I ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objection to the Senate letter of intent? Without objection, the Senate letter of intent has been passed unanimously. Is there discussion on the bill?
Question
has been called. The question being, shall CS for House Bill 545 Judiciary pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. CS for House Bill 545 Judiciary has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, 1 unexcused absence. Next item on the calendar, please.
House Joint Resolution Number 50 by Representatives Davis, Coltman, Boyer, Frank, Miller, Son, Pierce, Davidson, and Taylor requesting the Congress to remove the Highway Trust Fund and the Airport Airway Trust Fund from the Unified Federal Budget. Transportation Committee considers the bill and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Jones, Chairman, concurring. Senators Kelly, Abood, Coghill, and Fahrenkamp. Finance Committee considered the resolution and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Halford, Co-Chairman, concurring. Senator Jara, Fisher, Duncan, Hensley, and Binkley. Rules Committee considered the bill and resolution and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Hensley, Vice Chairman, concurring. Senator Jones and Fix.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent the House Joint Resolution 50 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, place, and final passage.
Without objection, House Joint Resolution Number 50 is before the Senate in final passage.
House Joint Resolution Number 50 requesting the Congress to remove Highway Trust Fund and the Airport and Airway Trust Fund from the Unified Federal Budget.
Is there any discussion? Senator Jesselson.
The Federal Act provides grants to deal with the problems of runaway youths. We have received in this state money under that grant program. The program will expire in September unless extended. The resolution is supported by the Department of Health and Social Services.
This is House Joint Resolution Number 50, Senator Josephson. Do you wish to speak on House Joint Resolution Number 50?
Thank you,
Senator Katula, he's been negotiating too long today.
His great friend, Senator John Rader, was made famous by speaking on the wrong bill at one stage.
Madam President, runaways could use the Highway Trust Fund.
Question has been called. The question being, shall House Joint Resolution Number 50 pass the Senate dealing with trust funds and airports? Members may proceed to vote. Does any say? We'll void the vote. The question being, Madam Secretary, you void the vote, please. The question being, shall House Joint Resolution Number 50 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. House Joint Resolution Number 50 has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, 1 nay. Madam Secretary, the next item, please.
House Joint Resolution Number 65 by Representatives Ellis, Donnelly, Ulmer, Gruenberg, Hudson, Brown, Davidson, Pershaw, Collins, Davis, Hanley, Copeland, Son, and Taylor, relating to runaway homeless and missing youth, Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the resolution reports it back as follows. Senator Fisher, Chairman, and Senator Josephson signed do pass. Senator Fanning signed no recommendation. Rules Committee considered the resolution and recommends Carolyn. The report was signed by Senator Hensley, Vice Chairman, concurring Senators Jones and Fakes.
Do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move unanimous consent that H.G.R. 65 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, place in final passage.
Without objection, House Joint Resolution number 65 is before the Senate in final passage. Question being, shall House Joint Resolution number 60, Senator Josephson.
For those who may not remember.
The question being, shall House Joint Resolution number 65 pass the Senate? It's going to be a long night. Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. House Joint Resolution number 65 has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, one unexcused absence.
Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 45, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, relating to encouraging private industry to hire state residents and to contract with local businesses. Finance Committee considered the bill. Majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Helfer, co-chairman, concurring. Senator Jaroff, Duncan, Ewing, and Hensley. Rules Committee considered the resolution. Recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Lyason, chairman, concurring. Senators Hensley and Fakes.
Discussion?
Amendments?
Questions? Senator Lyason. It's concurrent. Question has been called. The question being, shall committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 45, Labor and Commerce, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. CS for House Concurrent Resolution number 45, Labor and Commerce, has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas, one unexcused absence.
Committee substitute for House and current resolution number 42, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, proposing an amendment to Rule 1E of the Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature related to proportional membership for minority members on standing committees. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Lyason, Chairman, concurring Senators Binkley, Hensley, Jones, and Fakes. Senator Lyason also signed do pass.
Amendments, discussion, debate. Senator Strzelczewski.
President, I think this is worthy of a little bit of discussion, and on behalf of anybody that's ever been a minority member or contemplates ever being a minority member, or who is planned for to be a minority member, I think you might want to pay attention to this. So I would like to give just a very brief explanation. It did pass the House by a vote of 39 to nothing. First of all, it defines what constitutes a minority in a House of the legislature. A minority is defined as a group that consists of at least 25% of the membership, which is organized by electing a minority leader. The definition of minority is needed in order for the current provisions of Uniform Rule 1E to work. That rule currently requires that a minority member be given at least one seat on a standing committee. As you know, we've had trouble determining what a recognized minority is. The second thing, and I think this is important, it requires that a minority be given proportional representation on all standing committees. However, the impact of the requirement is lessened by the provision that says, in quote, I read from page 1, lines 25 and 26, it reads that fractional numbers that represent the minority proportional entitlement to a seat shall be ignored. That means that if a minority in the Senate consists of 5 members, it would only be entitled to one seat on a finance committee of 7 total members. Because of the smaller membership, it's felt by the sponsor, and I agree, that the impact of this resolution on the Senate would probably be small. In the House, however, it could be very significant. In the current alignment, in the House. The House minority has 16 members, or 40% of the total membership of that body. The current House Finance Committee has 2 minority members out of a total of 11. If this resolution were in place today, that minority representation on House Finance would double to 4 members out of 11. This obviously would be a very significant reform. I think it's a good time to be looking at this rather than trying to do something when the organization is in full fray. I would strongly encourage your support of this. I think it's a substantial reform and certainly could answer some questions for us in the future.
Senator Szymanski? Oh, I'm Senator Binkley. Senator, we'll stand at ease. The Senate will come back to order, please. We have before us CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 42, Judiciary. Willie and I, yes. Zaroff and Hensley are co-sponsoring this on the Senate side. Do we have discussion, debate, amendments? Senator Hensley.
May we revert to introductions?
Well, we haven't been there yet today, but sure, we'll revert
thank
to introductions.
Thank you for this.
Senator Hensley.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate your indulgence. I have tried all session to get this person to come to this session to see what we do all day. I'd like to introduce my friend and my daughter, Priscilla Hensley.
Senator Jones.
Madam President, back to this resolution that
yes,
we're
sir.
Discussing here. The definition of a minority says it has to be 25% of the total House membership. I'm wondering what we call our present-day minority. I mean, do we call them the have-nots or the nothings, or what would we call them in this case?
Senator Halford.
President, when we had, in a prior organization, when we had 8 members in the minority and we didn't have this rule, we were called the dissidents.
Senator Szymanski.
How'd you like to hear from the minority? Well, thank you, Madam President. To respond to the senator from Southeastern, let me kind of tell you what it's like.
Senator
Szymanski.
We've lost a lot of weight. But anyway, let me just get, in all seriousness, the real problem with this before us is that you never know where you're going to be at, but in this process, and I think that the process that's set out in our Constitution, particularly with regard to representation of the public at large, I think you have to recognize that we all have an inherent responsibility to represent our constituency. And given that ability, a fair and equitable process has to be made afforded any legislator down here. And you haven't heard me complain about the process and what this majority has offered, Senator Rohde and I. And in looking through the process, I felt comfortable with it. And it's not because we lack this rule. It's because we governed ourselves as a responsible body. And I'm afraid that the problem that you have with adopting this rule is that for several reasons, it's conceivable that you can have up to 8 members of this body in a minority and not constitute a minority. Somebody says, well, how can you do that? Because in the lower part of this resolution, you're saying you need 5 people. Didn't say what party. It's conceivable you could have 4 Republicans, 4 Democrats in the minority and not constitute a minority representation. If you disagree, kindly ask interpretation of any of the former people that have resided here. The President will probably give you a quick interpretation on that. But it is conceivable that you could have a ruling that 8 senators are disenfranchised from representation as a minority and a voice of what may not be the opinion of necessarily the majority that organized. In looking at the strict mathematics of the bill, I see that we're talking about proportionate representation, and when you take, as an example, 4 members of this body, which make up 1/5, that would assume you'd get 1 seat out of 5 on a committee of 5. Not so. Because if we adopt this resolution, you would still have to require 5 members to make a minority. five members of the same party, might add, which has been the previous requirement and interpretation. I get nods. Maybe I'm wrong on that side of it. My understanding has been that when they were ruling it, particularly as a representation on finance at one time, that some people suggested that Republican, Democrat were distinct groups, and that you couldn't necessarily constitute a minority by, and I may be off on that then, having a combination. But in any case, anytime you have five members, you can totally disenfranchise them from the committee process and the bill process. And I think there's a voice that has to be here for the minority. And when you cut off that vehicle and you use it as potential plug, you're gagging that group of people that they represent and the minority voice. And it's a process that I don't think should be sanctioned in rules adopted by this body. And particularly, I guess that's the reason we have a supermajority required for the adoption of the rules, because you need to protect the minority interest. Hopefully, and I say hopefully, all depends what some of you decide next year, 10 of us are going to return and form some kind of an organization. Hopefully a good, strong Democratic organization from my perspective. I see snickering amongst some of the Republicans, but we all have our loyalty lines. And I think there's a chance that several of you could be in the position that I'm in. But under a strict interpretation of this rule, you could end up crying for representation on a committee, looking for equitable treatment as a minority, and not be receiving it. And that's my problem with the adoption.
Senator Fahrenkamp?
Madam President, I don't think I've ever heard a more eloquent speech in favor of this resolution. This resolution, if a person would care to look, has no mention whatsoever of what party you belong to, but the number of members within the minority, and that any five members of an organization who are organized and have a minority leader are entitled to a seat on each standing committee. And if that wouldn't cure all the evils that the former speaker was talking about, I don't know what would.
Senator Halford.
Madam President, of course I support this resolution based on personal experience. I would say one thing, and it's what I would hope to be the interpretation of this body and the other body, and that is that if this rule goes into effect, the minority themselves will get to select who it is that serves on that committee slot. Otherwise, there will be a temptation for shadow minority members, who are in fact majority members, filling the key slots and avoiding the intention to have a dissident voice, someone offering an alternative, someone saying no.
I thought of that already. That's easy. Senator Josephson.
It's a good resolution, Madam President. The Senator from Ketchikan asks, well, what do we call a minority like ours? Well, that's an unqualified minority, Madam President. And a qualified minority is when you have five people or more. That's what I would, how I would resolve that. Madam President, I don't know what the Senator was saying. He said you could have four people in one group and four people in another group, and they wouldn't have a seat. If they're four and four and they can't get together to make five, they're damn fools and they don't deserve a seat.
They can't count. Senator Coghill.
President, I rise. I'm a little bit concerned about the 25% of the total House membership, because I can remember the first 2 years of statehood when the Senate was divided 18 D's and 2 R's, and we, in those days, practiced the rule that the minority sat on each committee, that the minority picked the their membership and selected the committees that they wanted to be a seat on. I don't understand the reason for having the 25% in there, because If you're going to have a 25%, then what happens? What happens in the case that's happened in the 15th legislature where you've got two members? Are they unqualified then?
Senator Sturgill-Lewski.
We had to deal with the, obviously the sponsor of this had to deal with the proportional relationship, but I might ask the senator from Spinard and the senator from South Anchorage how they enjoyed serving on the Finance Committee this year. They didn't.
Further discussion?
They won't know.
But question has been called. The question being, shall CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 42 Judiciary pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 42 Judiciary has passed the Senate by a vote of 15-5.
Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 54 Finance by the Finance Committee relating to the management of mobile homes owned by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Helfer, Chairman, concurring Senators Duncan, Fischer, Jaroff, Hensley, and Binkley. Rules Committee considered the resolution and recommends calendar, and the report was signed by Senator Hensley, Vice Chairman, concurring Senators Jones and Fakes. House Concurrent Resolution Number 34 by Representatives Larson, Menard, Ellis, Brown, Grunberg, Donnelly, Miller, and Navarre relating to tourist-oriented directional signs.
Discussion? Question has been called. The question being, shall House Concurrent Resolution 34 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. House Concurrent Resolution 34 has passed the Senate by a vote of 20-0. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that under Rule 43B of the Uniform Rules, engrossment be waived on Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 101, Finance amended by the Senate. State toll facilities.
Without objection, the engrossment and enrolling has been waived from House Bill 101.
Senate
will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order. Senator Fanning.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 54, Finance.
Notice of reconsideration has been given, sir. Senator Fanning.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I'd bring up notice of reconsideration of my vote on CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 54 Finance at this time.
Without objection, the reconsideration of CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 54 Finance is before the Senate at this time. Madam Secretary, will you read the bill?
Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 54 Finance relating to the management of mobile homes owned by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation before the Senate on reconsideration.
Senator Fanning, do you wish to speak to this? Senator Curtula.
President of the Senate, for times we lacked crystal ball, but this is one time I had one, and that is I certainly did not wish the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to take upon itself the mortgages of trailers on unsecured and rented property. And it's come home to roost, and it was a terrible mistake. And members of this body, some of them were here that supported it. don't make the same mistake twice if we have it to do over.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question has been called. The question being, shall CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 54 Finance pass the Senate on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 54 Finance has passed the Senate by a vote of 19-1 on reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader, which bill do you wish to take up, sir?
Move and ask unanimous consent that we take up committee substitute for House Bill 461, Judiciary.
Madam Secretary, without objection, House Bill 461 will be the next item on the calendar. Madam Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 461, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act increasing the penalties for repeat convictions for the crimes of theft and concealment of merchandise. Judiciary Committee considers this bill and reports back as and majority do pass. Report was signed by Senator Cotulla, Chairman, concurring Senator Strzelczewski and Fakes. Senator Josephson signed no recommendation. Finance Committee considered the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Helfert signed do pass. Senator Jara, Fisher, Yulee, and Finkley signed no recommendation. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. And report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senators Hensley and Fakes.
Do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 461, Judiciary, be considered and gross advance the third reading, place in final passage.
Without objection, CS for House Bill 461, Judiciary, is before the Senate in final passage.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 461, Judiciary, an act increasing the penalties for repeat convictions for the crimes of theft and concealment of merchandise.
President of the Senate, this bill was held over, so I'll just make a quick statement. And the thing is that for repeat misdemeanors, offenders are not covered by presumptive sentencing under the revised criminal code. And this problem addresses the problem, this bill addresses the problem by setting in motion a loop that will gradually increase a repeat offender's sentence. And that's the reason for the introduction. Of course, there's not a mandatory sentence, not a mandatory amendment sentence in this. And you do have the street people, the alcoholics and so on that are affected by this legislation. Nonetheless, it's felt by the people that the offenses are created against that we need some method, and is supported by the police, some method of slowly but surely increasing penalties on those repeat offenders. Support the legislation.
Question. 461 Judiciary passed the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. CS for House Bill 461, Judiciary, has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas. Mr. Majority Leader, what is your druthers, sir?
Madam President, we have one more bill on the calendar.
Madam Secretary, read the last bill on this calendar, please.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 305, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to wage and licensing of school bus drivers and providing for an effective date. Finance Committee considered the bill, and majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Helfert, Chairman, concurring Senator Jara, Fisher, Yulee, and Binkley. Previous fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senators Hensley and Fakes.
Do we have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 305, Finance, be considered gross, advance the third reading, place in final passage.
Without objection, CS for House Bill 305, Finance, is before the Senate in final passage.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 305, Finance, an act relating to wages and licensing of school bus drivers and providing for an effective date.
Do we have any discussion? Senator Fanning.
Madam President, I rise in opposition to this legislation. HB 305 recommends that the state should mandate a wage for school bus drivers. And it seems to me that if they're going to do that, they ought to do it for every single worker in the private sector. I think that there are several sections of the bill that have very serious problems, but once again, this is a particular realm that we're getting into that I don't think that we should. But I might specifically point out to the members of the body, those who might not have had an opportunity to look at this legislation, that what we're talking about here is not just a minimum wage for people that we already require to go through special training to ensure that they're qualified, but we're suggesting that they be paid at two times the minimum wage established under A of the section, whether or not they're working, whether work is measured by time, by commission, or by otherwise. At present, throughout the state, we have a tremendous variety in the types of hours, the numbers of hours, the types of routes that are run by school bus drivers. And I think that it's very unreasonable to suggest that that we mandate this wage. And additionally, it changes the age down from 19 to 21. Madam President, the vast majority of insurance companies that are insuring school bus drivers around the state already insist upon a 25-year-old age for many school drivers, they're school bus drivers. So I think that that's very inconsistent. But I think that particularly in rural areas of the state, this would be detrimental, but I think it's just bad policy.
Senator Fisher.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. I have a concern about the bill in regards to what we passed here yesterday. Yesterday, we passed House Bill 170, which is collective bargaining. Now, there are school districts that employ school bus drivers. Now, are we usurping the collective bargaining process by dictating here that a certain wage will be paid? It seems to me we're running counter to what we passed yesterday.
Senator Jones.
Madam President, you know, we're going to collective bargain here for a certain classification of employees and start sitting down at the bargaining table for them. I think we can do a heck of a lot better job than this. And we're only doing saying they're going to pay them $5.70 an hour. I think we should at least ask for $12. I mean, if we're going to bargain, let's bargain. Let's do a good job of it. So it's really a bad policy what we're setting up here. I'm against it.
Senator Josephson.
Madam President, I think this comes about because in the past 4 years, the legislature has increased the requirements to obtain a school bus driver's license, mandating a multi-week training course, background checks, medical clearance, training in medical emergency services such as CPR and first aid. The actual effect to set the minimum wage at twice the minimum Alaska minimum wage, which I think is $3.85 an hour, comes to $7.70 an hour. And I think that is little enough for someone who has all of that background. This legislature has expressed concern about what kind of people are driving our children and how safe they are. School bus driving in some areas where there is drastically reduced wages has become a very unattractive job. I believe in my district the wages are probably significantly higher than this. But there is a reported decreasing pool of qualified and experienced drivers willing to take on a low-paying job, and our children pay the price. The minimum wage established under the bill, I'm told, will not give anyone a raise, but sets a floor so that school bus driver wages cannot be further reduced to the point that we scrape the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the safety of the children.
Question. Senator Halpert.
A question, does this apply to people working for school districts, or does it also apply for private schools and everyone else?
Senator Fanning.
Madam President, it looks to me like it applies to everyone, and that points out an inconsistency, if you'll notice on page 2, that if you happen to be working for a municipal government that you've got a contract with, that you're able to go ahead and continue to pay at a different rate and under different conditions. And if you don't, if you're in a private situation, this law goes into effect September 1st, whether or not there's contracts.
Senator Jones.
Madam President, if we wanted to address safety and training for the drivers, safety training for the drivers, I think we should do that. But I don't think we should get into setting the bargaining the wages of those drivers.
Further discussion. Senator Halpert. Senate will stand at ease.